to all. Today's office is Shami Yavam Stav Yotas. We are starting Yud Chesam Beis on the bottom with Halacha Zayin. And today's office sponsor Lili Nishmas Mars Meir Mitzar Bas Biyakam Moshe Hernish Amash and Haven Aliyah. So Mishnah tells us here we have another variation of the previous case we've been discussing. Shlosh Achen. We have three brothers. Shnayim Hanesuin Shtei Achayis. Two are married to two sisters. That's Reuven and Shimon married to two sisters. VeEchad Nasui Nachris. And third one's married to a random woman. So Levi is married to a woman who's not related. Meis Achen Mibal Achayis. Let's say one of the ones married to one of the sisters. So let's say Reuven, he died. VeKanas Nasui Nachris Eshtai. And Levi did Yibam to Reuven's wife. Umeis Eshtai Shalsheni. And then the wife of the second one died, which means Shimon's wife died. Va'acharkach meis nasoi nachris, and then Levi, he died. So what's happening? Levi's original wife, who's not related, and Reuven's wife, whom Levi had taken in Yibum, they're falling to Shimon. So hareza asura olvay lamis, Reuven's wife is usher to Shimon forever. Hayovanasur olv sha'aches, that's because she was usher to him at one point in time. Because when Reuven had died, so Shimon wasn't able to marry Reuven's wife because she was achais ishtai, she was the sister of his wife. And that's why Levi ended up doing Yibum. So now, even though Shimon's wife is not alive anymore, so you would think that it's not a problem of a chais ishtai. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. No, since at one point in time she was also because of a chais ishtai through Yibam, even though now the chais ishtai isn't here anymore, it doesn't make a difference. The Isser is still here. Says Gemara Yotes Amar Alpha on top. Shlosh Achen v'chulu Amar Avinu. He tells us Hadahi da Amar Rav Hila, quoting Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, that loy daima Isra chais yivamis loy Isra chais sheini yivamis. This Mishnah, this din that we just learned, shows us how there's no comparison between two sisters that are yivamis versus sisters who are not yivamis. Over here, the reason why Shimon is not allowed to marry Reuven's wife is not because it's two sisters falling to him b'yibum, like we've had earlier. That's called Isra Chayes Yivamais. This is the Isra of a Chayes She'enon Yivamais, like we had explained in the Mishnah, that when Reuven had died, Shimon wasn't allowed to marry Reuven's wife because she was the sister of his wife. That's a real Isra of a Chayes Isha, and that's not matered up later on because it's coming through a Yibum case afterwards. Moving on to Al-Ches, now with another variation, the Mishnah tells us, Shlesha Achen, we have three brothers, Shnayim Hanesuin Shtei Achayes, two are married to two sisters, Ve'echad Nasui Nachris, the third one, Levi, is married to a random woman, not related. Now, what about this case? Girish Echad Mibalei Chayes Ishtai, one of the ones who's married to one of the sisters, divorces his wife. So let's just say that Reuven divorces his wife Rachel, Umeis Nasoi Nachris, and then the one who's married to the random woman Levi, he died, Mekansa Megarish, and then the one who's Megarish's wife, Reuven, he was Miyabim Levi's wife, Vameis, and then he died. So now Reuven's only wife, which is Levi's original wife, is falling to Shimon. So Izuisha Amruth is about this, they said, and this is learned all the way in the beginning of the first parak, Vekulon and all of them, meaning all the Arayos in Mesu, if they had died, Oshemianu, if they did Mion, Oinizgarshu, if they were divorced, Oshinimitsu Islandis, or they found to be an Islandist, Tarsain Mutaris, their Tsars are Mutar. In this case, is a case of divorce, because what had happened, Reuven, even though he was married to the sister of Shimon's wife, he had divorced her before he died. And so now, Reuven's Tsara is permitted to be married by Shimon because she's not Tsaris Erva. Reuven's not married to the Tsara anymore. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Shlesha Achen, Wechulu Girish, Sorb Chagas says, B'shem Rabz Eira, Loisev Dover, B'shigirish, Va'achach Kanas. It doesn't have to be the way the Mishnah set it up. Reuven first divorced the sister, Rachel, then he married Levi's wife who wasn't related. It could be the other way around. Then he married Levi's wife, so now he's married to two women, the sister and Levi's wife, and only afterwards he divorced Rachel, the sister. It's even in that case that Shimon is allowed to do Yibum to the Tzara, because again, she's not Tzara's Erva. Rachel, the sister, is already out of the picture. And how do we know this? Because that's what's taught in the Mishnah, Shemesu and his Garshut are saying Mutarais, that if they died or were divorced, they're Tzara's her mutter. And it's mashma from this line that as long as they were out of the picture before the brother, before Reuven died, so the Tsars are mutter, and it doesn't make a difference when they were out of the picture, before the Tsar was married or after the Tsar was married, as long as by the time Reuven died and his wives are falling to Yibum, the sister is not here anymore, she'd either die or divorced, so it's perfectly fine, Shimon's allowed to be miyabim the Tsara. Now Amar Yudin, Yudin tells us, Afra Blazer Maida, even Rabbi Blazer agrees to this. We've had Shitas Rabbi Blazer a few times before. He tells us that Afal Pisha Batal Agairim, Ha'isurim Kaimai, that even though the Gairim, the cause for the Isser is not here, the Isser is still in place. So you might say in this particular situation, Rabbi Blazer would argue, and he would hold, that since Reuven was married to both Rachel and the random woman at the same time, so automatically that random woman, the Tsara, is considered Tsara's Erva, and even though Reuven subsequently died after already divorcing her, still the Erva would be considered a Tsara. No, that's what the Gemara is telling us. The Reb Blazer agrees in this case. And why is that? So Amar Rabbi Yosi tells us, V'yos, this is correct, because Ilu Misha Yulai Banim Umesu. Let's say a person had children, and then they died, Lo Yalenu, V'achach Mesu, and then the man died, Shema Ein Ishtei Zgukul Yibum. Would you say his wife is not Chayv in Yibum? Of course she is. And that's because everything has to do with the time of death of the man. If when he Nida, he didn't have children, so his wife is Zakuk to Yibum, even though at one point in time he did have children. And so same thing, Taman, just like over there, Vuhu Shayolai Banim Bishas Misa, it's totally on if he has children when he died. If he does, his wife is not Zakuk. If he didn't, then his wife is Zakuk. Vahacha, same thing over here. Vushidei Tzara La'achar Misa. She would have to be considered a Tzara after he dies, or really at the time that he dies, but since by the time Reuven died, he had already gotten rid of Rachel, she's not in the picture anymore, so the Tzara is not considered a Tzara, and she's mutter to be taken in Yibum by Shemen. Moving on to Halacha Tes. The Mishnah tells us, Vekulon, all of them, meaning all these Arayas we've been talking about the entire time, the 15 Arayas of the first Mishnah in the Masechta, and remember they also have a Tzara, Shahayulan Kiddushin or Gershin Besafik. Let's say the Erva herself was Mekudeshes or Megureshes only Besafik. So let's just speak this out. We have Reuven and Shimon as brothers, and the first case would be, let's say Shimon is married to a random woman, that would be the Tzara, and then he's Mekadesh and Erva of Reuven, but only Misafik. We'll see what that means, Kiddushin is Misafik, but he's Mekadesh or Misafik, or it could be a little bit later down the line. He was for sure married to these two women, the Erva of Reuven and the Tzara, but then he was Megaresh Reuven's Erva, Misafik, and then he died. So what's the thing with the Tzara? Is she considered Tzara's Erva? Or maybe the Kiddushin wasn't Chal, or the Gerushin was Chal, and the Erva's out of the picture already. As the Mishnah tells us, these women, meaning the Tzara, they require Chalitza and no Yibam. The Mishnah clarifies, Ketzat Safik Kiddushin, what does that mean? It's Safik Kiddushin. So Zarek LaKiddusheha, let's say he threw her Kiddushin to her, he threw money or a shtar to her, and there was precisely 8 Amos in between them. Safik Karav Loi, Safik Karav La, it's Safik if it was closer to her, closer to him. If it's closer to her, that means it's within her 4 Amos, and we know that the 4 Amos around the person automatically acquire for them whatever object is located there. So if it was closer to her, she's Mekudeshes. If it was closer to him, she's not Mekudeshes. Zeu Safik Kiddushin, that's Safik Kiddushin. Now, case of Safik Gerushin, what's the case of Safik Gerushin? So we have 3 cases. Kasavik Sav Yadai, he wrote the get in his own hand. He didn't have a cipher write it. He wrote it with his own handwriting. Ve'ein Olav Edim, there's no Edim on it. Or Yesh Olav Edim, there are Edim on it that's signed, but Ve'ein Olav Zman, there's no date which states when the get was written and given over. Or Yesh Bai Zman, there is a date on the get, but Ve'ein Bai Ela Eid Echad, there's only 1 Eid on the get instead of 2. So Zeu Safik Gerushin, that's the case of Safik Gerushin. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, V'chulon Shivulon Kedushin, Agerushin, Misafik Arayel Chatzis Lai Misyavon Sechulu. So right away, the Gemara addresses the end of the Mishnah where we discuss what Safik Gerushin is, and it clarifies, less kan Safik Gerushin Mamish. That's not really cases of Safik Gerushin. These 3 Gittin that we mentioned at the end of the Mishnah really are actually Da'iraisa 100% valid. It's just that the Rabbanon say she's not Megureshes, which means again, if she received one of the Gittin that we just mentioned in our Mishnah, she's Megureshes Midairaisa, just not Midrabbanon. So you have to based on top, continue clarifying, what does that mean, Safik Gerushin? Ketzat Safik Kiddushin? What's a case of Safik Kiddushin that we had in our Mishnah? Well, Zarek La Kiddusheha, if he threw a Kiddushin to her, Safik Karav La, Safik Karav La, it's Safik closer to her, Safik closer to him, so Safik Kiddushin, that's Safik Kiddushin, and Vahacha, it's the same thing over here. Zarek La Gita, if he threw her get, Safik Karav La, Safik Karav La, it's a Safik gets closer to her or closer to him, Zeu Safik Gerushin, that's a case of actual Safik Gerushin. We really don't know if she's divorced. But again, those 3 Gittin that we listed in our Mishnah, that's not Safik. She's actually 100% Megureshes, Mid-Airaisa. It's just Mid-Rabban, and she's not Megureshes. Now continue to discuss this. Rabbi Yochanan says, B'shem Rav Chalafta Demen Hava. Rabbi Yochanan says, an heir of Chalafta who's from this place called Hava. V'kulan all them, all these cases where again, we have Reuven and Shimon. Shimon is married to an Erva of Reuven. Imni says, Bai, if this Erva of Reuven got married with this get that she received, so let's say she doesn't have to leave, she doesn't have to be taken away from that new marriage, so as not to have a laz, a bad name come about her kids from this new marriage, if she's forced to leave the marriage after she has kids, people are going to say all those kids are mamzerim. And the halachic reason why she doesn't have to leave is because we said, mid the iraisa, it was a valid get. And so once she got married with this, the iraisa valid get, and she had children, we're not going to make her leave. Now, can you discuss more outcomes of this? And let's just speak out the case again. We have Reuven and Shimon as brothers. Shimon is married to an erva of Reuven's. Let's say that's Reuven's daughter. So Shimon's married to his niece. And again, he divorces her with his get, which is only valid da iraisa. And so here we're focusing on the following point. Bita shenisa is l'shuk beget ze loytetze. If his daughter, meaning Reuven's daughter, had married somebody random because she had gotten this get, she doesn't have to be taken away from that marriage. And we already know that. But what's the extra emphasis over here? So we point out that Shimon died without children. Now that Tzara is falling to Reuven. So the reason why Reuven's daughter doesn't have to be taken away from her new marriage is kidei lozuk tzarasa l'avia, in order that there should be a zika of the Tzara to her father. If you're going to tell the daughter that she has to leave her new marriage, then people are going to say, oh, it turns out that really when Shimon died, Reuven's daughter is falling to him by Yibum. We already know that she's pater, Mimila, that's going to pater the Tzara, and then they're going to say that Tzara's pater without Yibum. That's why we say that actually the daughter should stay married to this random person. That way it looks like that Tzara is the only one that's falling to Reuven by Yibum. Then we're going to ensure that he's going to do Chalitza. Continue with this, but let's say Tzara's Shinisis Lashuk Begetze Tetze. If the Tzara married somebody random based off of this get that was given to her co-wife, which again was the Erva, Reuven's daughter, so then she has to leave because since the get that's not valid Rabbanon, that Sarah does have Zika Zibum, and therefore she's not going to marry somebody random. Another case of this, Bita Shinesis L'Achiv Begetzeh. Let's say the brother married the daughter with this get. In other words, Shimon had given a get to his niece, Reuven's daughter, and Levi, the third brother, he thought that this get was actually not valid at all, so he didn't marry her yet. Then Shimon died. So Levi says, look, the get that Shimon had given her wasn't valid anyway. Now she's falling to me Begibum, so he marries her. In this case, Tetze, she does have to leave, because as we already know, the get was valid D'Oraisa. Therefore, mid-D'Oraisa, she's not falling to Levi Begibum, so he's not allowed to marry her. A last scenario of this, Tzarasa Shinesis L'Achiv Begetzeh, if the Tzara married the brother with his get, again, Shimon had given his niece a get, then he died, so his brother Levi married the Tzara, because he said, look, the get was valid, and therefore, it's not a case of Tzara's Erva, or a Filula Via, even if she married her father, meaning Reuven married the Tzara, so Loi Tetze, she doesn't leave, because mid-D'Oraisa, the get was valid, and so she's not Tzara's Erva, and therefore, she's allowed to be taken in Yibum. And continue to discuss these three get and mention the Mishnah that are valid D'Oraisa, but not the Rabbanon. Let's just copy-paste this to a situation of halva, of a shtar. Namely, Reuven lent Shimon money, and he wrote a shtar either just in his own handwriting without Edim, or signed by Edim, but it didn't have a date on it, or it had a date on it, but it only had one eid on it. So what's the din with this shtar? That's what the Gemara tells us. Tanu v'Braisa, shlosh shtar halalu, these three shtaris, goyvim b'nei chayrin ve'ina goyvim b'nei mishubadin, the malva, the lender, is only allowed to collect from b'nei chayrin, but not from mishubadin. Let's just pause and explain. A shtar halva, a loan document, can be written in one of two ways, either with or without a date. Let's say, for example, on Sunday, the first of the month, Reuven lent Shimon $100. Now, if the date was written on the shtar, so when the time comes to collect, if Shimon doesn't pay up, Reuven can take from his mishubadim, which are properties with a lien. Namely, the moment Reuven lent money, any property Shimon owned is now officially mishubad. It's on lien to pay the loan, and so even if Shimon subsequently sold it to somebody else, Reuven can take it away as payment. However, if the shtar did not have a date on it, so Reuven can't collect from mishubadim because there's no proof when the loan took place. It could be that Shimon sold his property before he ever borrowed the money. Therefore, Reuven can only collect from b'nei chayrin, properties that are currently in Shimon's possession, that have no shiba, that have no lien on them. And that's what we're saying. If we have a shtar halva written one of these ways, that's only allowed to be used for collecting from b'nei chayrin, not from mishubadim. Now, Omer Abba, he clarifies, hadot etam, this is only said, b'shaloi hoch sekash shtar b'yana malve. That's only if the shtar was never confirmed with the malve, which means that this was never confirmed in Bezdin that the malves owed this money. That would be the, let's say, the malvin loive go to Bezdin, and the loive admits to borrowing the money, so the Bezdin confirms that this is a valid shtar. So that's when we say that mishubadim are not allowed to be collected from. Abel hoch sekash shtar b'yana malve, goive. But if the shtar was already confirmed by the malve, they had already went to Bezdin, and the Bezdin confirmed that this was a valid halva, so mishubadim are allowed to be collected from. However, Biyasa Bayi, Biyasa asks on this, im shaloi hoch sekash shtar b'yana malve, if the shtar was never muchsik by the malve, afilu b'nei chayrin lo yigbe, he shouldn't even be allowed to collect from b'nei chayrin. That's because if Reuven comes with a shtar that was never muchsik in Bezdin, it doesn't have edim on it, there's nothing, and he tells Reuven, okay, you owe me $100. Reuven can say, I don't know what you're talking about. This whole thing's a forgery. It's a fake. It's mezoyef. I don't owe you a penny, and we wouldn't require Shimon to pay. So what does that mean? That if a shtar is not muchsik in Bezdin, Shimon would still have to pay, just only from b'nei chayrin. That doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elokin on kaimin. Rather, what are we referring to over here? B'shehochsik hashtar b'yad malve. That's only when the shtar is muchsik in the hands of the malve. So then he's allowed to collect, but only from b'nei chayrin, not from mishubadim. So now the Gemara asked the opposite way. V'lama inay gaive. Why doesn't he collect from mishubadim? If you just said that the shtar is muchsik b'yad malve, it's been confirmed by Bezdin that the malve did lend this money to Shimon. So why is he not able to collect from mishubadim? And here we have two different answers. Amar Bizna, he explains, b'nei kinyunya. That's because of kinyunya, which is a trickery. Since the shtar doesn't have a date on it, we're afraid that the malve and loiv are in cahoots. Since the shtar was handwritten either without proper edim or without a proper zman, the loiv is going to write the shtar as the loan taking place, let's say, on the first of the month, when it really didn't. Let's say it took place on the 10th of the month, but he's writing as if it took place on the first of the month, and on the 5th of the month, the loiv of Shimon had sold property to Levi, and the reason why he's doing this in cahoots with Reuven is so that now, when Reuven comes to collect the money, Shimon could say, I don't have the funds, so Reuven's going to go to Levi and collect that property, because officially the loan took place on the 1st, the properties were sold on the 5th, that means that they're meshubid, but really the whole thing's false. It's a kinonia, it's a trickery. In truth, the loan really took place on the 10th. And that's why, even when the shtar is mochsik and bezdin, we're only able to collect from b'nei chayrin, not from mishubadim. However, Oven Omer, he argues and says, b'nei shu pasol, it's simply because it's pasol midrabanon. It might be valid d'oraisa, but since the shtar is pasol midrabanon, we're not able to collect from mishubadim, only from b'nei chayrin. And here he brings a riot to himself. Ad kedoin b'shalav ha'azakin v'shibir ha'azakin. Even if you want to say the Rav Bizna, that's because of a kinonia, that would only be if the elder, meaning Shimon himself, he was the one that borrowed money, and he was mishabed his property, meaning he sold his property to somebody else, so then we're afraid of kanunya. But what about the following case? Lav ha'zakein v'shibet ha'ben. Shimon was on the borrowed money, but then it was his son who had sold his property. Ischa meimar b'nei kanunya? Are you able to say that the reason why we're not collecting from mishubadim is because of kanunya? We're afraid of trickery? There's no trickery that could possibly take in place. It was the son that had sold the property, not the father who was the one that had done the borrowing. And therefore, lo'im b'nei shu pasol, wouldn't it be in that case that the reason reason why Mishubadim are allowed to be collected from is because the shtar is just simply pasul drabanan. V'hacha also here, Mabineshu pasul, is because it's pasul drabanan. And Rav Avraham Rav continues saying, V'atani, we have a brisa that tells us, af begite nashim kain, then even with the get of a woman, if a woman comes to Bezin with a get that was written by her husband, it was handwritten, it didn't have edim on it, let's say, or no date, so we will allow her to collect her ksuba with this get. However, she is not allowed to collect from nechasim Mishubadim from property that her husband had sold. She's only allowed to collect from bnei chayrin. And it's the same thing here. Is the chamim, are you able to say bnei kenunya because there's some sort of trickery? There's no trickery in the case of getin. Loin bnei shu pasul. Don't we say that the reason why she's only allowed to collect from bnei chayrin is because midrabanan, this is pasul. V'hacham bnei shu pasul. Same thing over here. In the case of the loan document, it's because it's pasul. So we have two rayas for Rav Avin's shita. We're going to start for the day and pick up tomorrow with halacha yud with more case of three brothers. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.